is Tuesday. Tuesday evening, the night before the big reveal. And what did you just do, Caleb?
What did I just do?
Yeah, you just had like a contest that you just completed. Like a Guinness World Record kind of thing.
I just ate a burger and a hot dog in what, it was like a minute and a half.
Jesus, a burger and a hot dog. How big was the burger? How many like patties were on it?
Yeah, I mean, it was just one, but it was thick. I was just really hungry.
So he just housed a quarter pounder and a stadium-sized hot dog in a minute and a half.
Correct.
You should enter the Coney Island hot dog eating contest. They do it every year around the summertime in New York. And you might be able to win a prize. So if you ever get a chance to come out to New York, maybe might be a thing to check out.
Did I tell you that I drove out to New York like 2 months ago?
Did you really? I did not know that.
Just spontaneously. I was out with a friend and we were like, why not? Let's just drive to New York. It's like an 8-hour drive. Just drove. We were there for like 4 hours, walked around Manhattan, drove back.
That's awesome. So you drove 16 hours and you spent 4 hours in Manhattan.
Right.
That's fucking awesome, dude. That's pretty adventurous. Props.
That was fun.
Yeah. You'll have to make out a longer trip out and then show you around New York.
Like to at some point. It was pretty expensive though when you add in like the parking garage and the toll. So I figured it would just be gas. I didn't consider toll booths or parking garage.
That's why the big secret they don't tell you is it's probably cheaper to fly when you take into account paying $50 a day for parking minimum. And $50 a day is generous. Really, if you're in Manhattan in like Times Square, you're looking at paying like $80 to $100 a day just to park your car. You might as well like take the subway.
Yeah, we paid like $55 for 24-hour pass in the parking garage, but we were like one block from Times Square.
Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, Times Square is pretty fun.
Yeah, it's cool, especially if you aren't from New York.
Yeah, if you're from New York, then you get kind of annoyed eventually from all the tourists just like standing in your way. Like, dude, I got places to go, bro. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
But yes, we have some pretty cool things to talk about tonight, don't we, Caleb?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. So I guess on that note, let's get the show on the road. Hello, Vault Hunters, and welcome to the Borderlands Show podcast. I am your host, Cornholio, and welcome to our weekly podcast about all things Borderlands. On today's episode, we'll be discussing the Master Vault Hunter mode that is coming in Borderlands 3. Thank you so much to SupMatto for the awesome reporting on this one. We're also going to talk about sound design in Borderlands 3. Some changes that are possibly coming to Borderlands 2 in the not-too-distant future, maybe tomorrow, hint, hint. We're also going to talk about the Borderlands 3 gameplay leak by Gearbox yet again. They keep leaking things constantly. And finally, we're going to talk about Zane and Amara's skill trees that were revealed and the new Echo Cast feature that will be coming out tomorrow. We're going to talk more about that on the show. And Caleb, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We survived 4 episodes. Well, not quite yet. Almost 4 episodes. We almost made it.
Who knows? We may not survive this one. Just kidding.
I think we'll make it. I think we'll be all right. I'm putting my bets on us. So yeah, we're going to have a really awesome episode today. We have a lot to talk about in the Borderlands world. But before we dive into the conversation, what have you been doing this week besides eating burgers and hot dogs in a minute and a half?
I saw a little movie called Avengers Endgame. Oh, have you seen it?
I have not.
Wow. That's all I can say. Wow.
Yeah, I have to check it out still. I've been working on a lot of work projects with getting stuff on YouTube and podcasting. So I haven't had too much time to devote to it. I did watch the new Game of Thrones episode. I don't know if you if you're a fan of that.
I'm not.
You're not? Okay. That's okay.
I want to catch up. And I want to, buy all the way from season one and start all the way from the beginning. But I just haven't had a chance to do that. I want to, though.
Definitely worth it. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to say anything. All I'm going to say is watch it. The last season is cooking up to be pretty freaking awesome. So that's all I'm going to say. If you haven't watched the show, do take the time to check it out. I think I have all of the digital episodes on iTunes. Yes, I do buy my shows and my movies. So if you ever want to check it out, you're more than welcome to maybe hop on my account and watch it sometime and binge watch. But yeah.
I may just have to take you up on that.
Yeah, it's totally worth watching. It's one of those shows that once you start watching it after like the first 2-3 episodes, you're not going to want to stop watching it. You're going to want to keep grinding out. Same thing with a show called Stranger Things. That's another really fun show that I very recently got into.
Not a fan.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I watched, the first 4 or 5 episodes and I just couldn't get into it. But there's another show. You heard of Dark?
I think I heard of it, but I've never seen it.
It's pretty much the way everyone describes it is the adult version of Stranger Things. It's on Netflix. I really like that show. I think there's only one season on Netflix, but I believe season 2 is coming out this year.
I may have to just check that out.
It's really good. It's like, I want to say it's German, but it has American voiceover. Or English voiceover, I should say.
That sounds pretty cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out for sure. And the new Avengers movie, that's another thing that I have to catch. Now, about that movie, do you think that I have to have seen the previous ones in order to watch this one? Or do you think that it's okay to dive into it without having seen the previous movies?
What was the last one you saw? Have you seen any?
I don't think I have. I may have. Like, I don't watch a lot of movies. That's the thing. Like,
Oh, man, I'm huge into movies.
I love movies. I buy a lot of movies, but I don't have the time to just devote and sit down for 2 hours and watch something. So, well,
that's tough. If you want to, I would recommend, honestly, like, you got to watch all of the movies. That's just, you have to. So I would start from the beginning. But if you absolutely just don't have the time to start from the beginning and watch every Marvel movie, then I would say you'd have to watch like the last 3 main ones that came out. So the biggest ones, I would say, watch Civil War. Say Civil War, Infinity War, and then you could probably watch it. It wouldn't be as good though, so I would definitely recommend watching all of them.
I just haven't really had too much time to sit down and dive in. But yeah, I'm definitely going to have to check that out. Maybe I'll start with the older ones. And then by the time that I'm done with the previous movies, the new one will have come out on DVD. Why did I just say DVD? I might as well say VHS, right? Like, fuck. It's been a long day. I'm still drinking my coffee. This is my ritual. Every episode of the podcast, I like drink a cup of coffee and dive into the conversation about the games I enjoy playing.
Maybe I should make it my ritual to try and break my record of eating a hamburger and a hot dog before every episode.
That is an awesome idea. Next episode, you're going to have two hot dogs and two burgers that you're going to house down in a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Before you know it, by the time we're on like episode 50, you're going to be like fucking fat bastard with like 30 burgers and 30 hot dogs in like 2 minutes.
The thing is, I do not gain weight. I don't know what it is, but like I can eat as much as I want. People are going to hate me for saying that. Nothing happens.
I'm the same way. I can eat as much as I damn well please. I can eat an entire gallon of ice cream if I want, and I'm good. I'm fine. Fine. Like one time I really wanted bacon. I was craving bacon. And I was like, all right, I got a pound of bacon in the fridge. So for some odd reason, I decided it was going to be a good idea to cook up like 12 strips of bacon. And I did. And I ate it all. It was delicious. At the time, it was amazing. It's one of those things where like it doesn't hit you right away. It hits you about an hour and a half later, 45 minutes later. And you're starting to feel it, and it's almost like the feeling you get when you have appendicitis. And the only reason why I say that is because I know I had appendicitis before, so I know the feeling.
It hurts.
Really young. Yeah, it hurts like a bitch.
Yeah.
So, dude, I regretted that decision to eat all that bacon. I felt so sick. For like 2 days straight, I could not eat a single thing. It was bad. It was bad. It was good at first, but man, that hangover, it was not fun.
The bacon hangover.
Bacon hangover. You heard it here on the Borderlands Show podcast. Speaking of the Borderlands Show podcast, you can find us now pretty much almost everywhere. We're on Google, Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, and Apple. And also, you can find us on Instagram at The Borderlands Show. Isn't that right, Caleb?
That is right.
Yes. And I finally finished the website. You can check us out at borderlandsshow.com, where you can listen to every single episode and find the show notes. You don't have to go to that other website that we're not going to talk about to catch all the episodes and show notes, because that sounds really retarded. That was a bad idea. I'm glad that it's not happening. But we're here, so you can find us pretty much everywhere you like to listen to our podcasts. You can also find us. We have the link down below in our show notes, so make sure to check that out. And we appreciate your support. We are on Twitter as well. I can deal with this. So where were we before I was rudely interrupted by Sir Deej or Sir Hammerlock? I like that. Sir Hammerlock. What do you think? Should we name our bot Sir Hammerlock?
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Fuck yeah. Let's do this. All right. So Sir Hammerlock is now here to record our conversation each and every week on the podcast. I like that idea. So let's talk about honorable mentions of the week. We do this each and every week where we give shout outs to the people in our community who made a difference in Borderlands this week. And this week we have three individuals that were handpicked, selected by yours truly. And Caleb agreed. He gave me that nod. He's like, yeah, I like this. I like this idea. This is good.
My exact words. Yeah.
Exactly. And first up, we have Joshua Davidson. And who is Joshua Davidson, you may ask? Well, that is a very fair question to ask who Joshua Davidson is. He works for Gearbox, and he is the senior sound designer at Gearbox. And we have some news to bring you this week on the podcast regarding sound design in Borderlands 3, and he will be our first honorable mention this week. And who do we have next, Caleb, on the honorable mentions list?
I have absolutely no idea, if I'm being honest. I do not see it on the show notes.
That's awesome. Oh, man. We're doing great. We're doing really great.
Is it on
this
here?
Week? Oh, it should be.
Unless you're Joshua Davidson.
His name is Nicolads, and he is I don't know what you would call him, because he leaked information about some pretty cool stuff in Borderlands 3. Zane and Amara's skill trees were revealed in their entirety. I think that's pretty fucking dope. That deserves a little bit of credit, right?
It's very cool.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you don't get arrested, and I hope there's no, like, charges being brought against you for leaking out this information, because I don't know how socially acceptable or legal it is. So I'm not sure. I'm not a lawyer.
I think it's legal, so, perfectly legal.
Yeah. Maybe it's frowned upon. Illegal. It's just frowned upon, just like masturbating on a plane.
Sure. Sure.
That's from a movie.
I've heard that before. I don't remember what movie it is, though. I have seen it. I just couldn't remember what it was from. I'm sending you a screenshot of my show notes.
I am going to, instead of sending you a screenshot, I'm going to send you a copy of the show notes that I have. How does that sound? That sounds like a pretty good idea.
Sounds pretty good.
Great way to prepare for a podcast. How does one prepare for a weekly podcast about all things Borderlands? Well, you don't do this, my friends. Stay toasty.
Hey, it's updated.
Okay, so essentially, my dumbass just didn't save the work that I did. So, yeah, that happened. That happened. I am that guy today. Dump, dump, dump. We should do a new thing on the podcast. We should make a segment for Dumbass of the Week. And you know who gets the award this week? This guy. Oh, good times.
Oh no, I did waste a lot of time by just making you send me that. And only one little sentence has changed. Or unless something else has changed.
That's okay. Nothing else has changed. Okay. I don't think so. And then lastly, we give shout outs to the Gearbox dev team. Thank you very much for all of your hard work on making Borderlands 3. It's been like at least 5 years now that you guys have been working on this. So thank you for all of your hard work. We appreciate you, even if you will not be coming to Steam this September. Dum, dum, dum.
Ooh.
But I don't care. Rocky doesn't care either.
You got Rocky all riled up.
Rocky has a lot to say today. He's very opinionated.
He's
Rocky,
very passionate about Steam,
Rocky,
and Epic Games.
I'm sorry about that. So this is interesting. So Rocky was flipping shit because my buddy came over.
Ah.
And he is building his computer. And he literally came over because he doesn't use his cell phone to contact anyone to let them know, hey, I'll be over. He just kind of pops
pops in.
Interesting.
He does the pop in, and he was in need of thermal paste. So I have thermal paste because I'm a geek and I have these kind of things. By the way, thermal paste is for computer CPUs. I just want to clarify that before, you know, any kind of ideas come up. So, yes. So, he came over for thermal paste, but Rocky wanted to say hello, and he was very passionate. He is also very passionate about Epic Games and the Steam business, because he's just a passionate kind of dog. He loves his video games.
Nothing wrong there.
No, nothing at all. And we are going to talk about some pretty cool things here on the podcast tonight. We're going to talk about Master Vault Hunter mode coming to Borderlands 3. And shout outs to SupMatto for an awesome, awesome YouTube video on the subject. So, you know what? We're going to give him some love. We're going to throw the link down into the show notes for SupMatto's awesome video on the subject into the show notes, so our listeners can enjoy it as well. And SupMatto was talking about the Master Vault Hunter mode coming to the endgame aspect of Borderlands 3. And it's supposed to be more difficult than Ultimate Vault Hunters mode. Now, Caleb, were you brave enough to dive into the Ultimate Vault Hunters mode?
Yeah. That's...
How'd it go?
It's good.
It's good.
That's when you get into like OP territory. So you're getting guns, OP, you're starting OP 2, or I don't even know if there's OP 1, I don't even remember. It's been a while since I've been up there. But, you know, going out to OP 8, so that's when the fun begins.
So, for all of the newcomers who maybe have not played Borderlands in the past, what exactly, how does the OP system work exactly?
It's like stronger weapons. I don't really know how to describe it other than it's like, so when you get to, you know, your player max, because they have the level cap, you get to level cap, you're no longer leveling up. They needed something to keep you interested and keep you getting better stuff. OP is just, you know, like better guns, essentially. It goes up to OP 8.
So it's just an extra tier of progression for the weapons that you're acquiring.
Sure, I guess. Okay. It's kind of hard to describe, and I haven't spent a whole lot of time in Ultimate Vault Hunter because I like to start new characters and replay the story.
Well, maybe with Borderlands 3, we'll make you more hardcore. And we'll have to dive into the Ultimate Vault Hunters mode that is expected to come with the game that will be launching this September. And do we have any idea what will change with this Master Vault Hunters mode?
I would assume it's just the same thing as the other modes, where it just gets where you can play through it again. I don't know what else would be different.
I'm curious how the elemental damages will play a role in this new mode and how they will affect the progression and some of the boss battles that we're going to be getting.
It's going to be interesting because in Borderlands 2, slag is such a pivotal necessity in endgame. And now that slag is no longer existing, it's going to make for a lot more interesting encounters.
It's almost going to make the game feel a little different in terms of having something that's really familiar be changed. it's going to almost spice things up, where it's not like a completely different game. It still feels like a Borderlands game, but it's giving it a fresh new element of something different, something unique, and something maybe better.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited. All the different worlds and everything, it's going to be Borderlands, but not only Pandora.
It almost sounds to me like we're getting Borderlands 3 times 4. Or I should say Borderlands 2 times 4, because we're getting, correct me if I'm wrong, 4 planets in this game, correct?
I have no idea.
Okay, for some reason I thought it was like 4 worlds that we're going to be getting to explore, at least of what we know of. But we're going to learn a lot more about this tomorrow. And on the next week's episode, we're going to have our Borderlands 3 Info Explosion episode after the big May 1st reveal that is happening tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm pretty sure you can find it on their website at borderlands.com to watch it live right on the website.
And Gearbox is streaming it themselves on Twitch, I believe. Actually, do you know Kind of Funny is? Okay.
Of course I know Kind of Funny. Just make sure.
They're hosting it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Greg Miller, Fran Mirabellum, and I think Andrea Renee are doing it.
Oh, nice. Fran is doing it. That's awesome. Fran is actually in my Destiny clan.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep. Fran. Fran is a good guy. I've played with Fran before. He's really cool. Really down to earth.
A big Destiny fan.
He is. He is. They do have a podcast called the Fireteam Chat, and they, well, I guess Fran is no longer part of it. He actually left IGN. I want to say at least 6 months ago, he decided to do something different. And I think he's working with Kind of Funny quite a bit now.
Yeah, he's, I don't know if he's full time or not. I know he's there quite a bit, though.
But yeah, he's a cool dude. If you do like Borderlands or Destiny, go check him out. He's a cool dude. And yeah, so what else are we going to talk about this week?
This week, sound design. It's a big thing.
Sound design. Yes, sound design. So we have some news and honorable mention again to Joshua Davidson from Gearbox, who is a senior sound designer. And he actually had a really awesome interview that he did on the Code Right Play podcast, and we will include the link to the entire episode of that podcast in the show notes at borderlandsshow.com. But they talk about some of the changes that we can expect to see in Borderlands 3 in terms of the sound design, relating to the weapon sound assets in Borderlands 3. And in the interview, Joshua Davidson talks about Borderlands 2 having around 300 WAV files, which is pretty substantial if you think about it. That's a lot of files to have for different sounds in the game for the weapons. But in relation to Borderlands 3, Borderlands 3 will have around 7,500 WAV files.
He said that he wasn't even done yet and they already had 7,500.
Oh, so they're not even done yet.
Right. He said he still had some to do, which is amazing.
That's incredible. And they are actually doing something different with the sound mechanics this time around, where the different wave files can be combined in different combinations to create new sounds that are unique and different. So that will add another layer of depth to the game and having much more variety in the different sounds for the weapons. And according to Joshua Davidson, the Borderlands 3 weapon sound assets will be 25 times greater than those in Borderlands 2. That's pretty substantial.
I'm curious to know how many WAV files were used for Borderlands 1. If Borderlands 2 is 300, it couldn't have been that many at all.
I'm going to say maybe 100, if even that.
Yeah, I'd say under 100.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assumption. Now, and here's a thing that Joshua actually says in that interview that was really striking. He says the following: "We haven't really talked about this yet, but I'm kind of going to give you a little hint. On Borderlands 2, we shipped with 300 gun assets with 300 individual WAV files of gunshot to cover all gun manufacturers and their variations. So whenever you picked up a Bandit shotgun or you picked up a Hyperion submachine gun in all the previous Borderlands games, they all sounded like the same gun, essentially, no matter what rarity they were and things like that. So the Hyperion SMG would always sound like a Hyperion SMG. A Jacob shotgun would sound always like a Jacob shotgun. That was like 300 individual assets. Right now, we're sitting at 7,500 individual gun sounds for the new one." And he goes on to state that they were able to achieve such a incredible jump in how many different sounds they have in the game and how many different weapons they have in the game was due to having more memory. And also some of the design changes that were made, where they developed a new modular system where sounds can be combined and mixed to create new sounds. So it gives you almost this infinite variation in sounds that you can create with 7,500 different sound effects. That's pretty cool.
I love how much work they're putting into audio design Borderlands 3.
Yeah, they're putting in a great deal of work and effort into, I would say, all aspects of the game. I think that, I mean, geez, making a game for 5 years, you have to be very detailed about every little aspect of it. And I definitely can tell their passion and their desire to make a game that's bigger than anything else we've seen to date. And I'm pretty excited to play this game now, even more than I was a month ago when we got the PAX East Magic Tricks extravaganza.
Yeah, this is one of those things that for some people it may not be a huge deal, but other people, they can be playing and just hearing the different guns have the same sound can kind of throw them off a little bit. And so when little things like that add up, it can kind of alter your perspective of a game and how good it is. So audio design is very important, especially for a game with 1 billion guns.
Yeah, and the entire gaming industry seems to be really pushing to making sound a lot more significant and important in this next generation of gaming. Because if you think about it, the shift between the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One, in terms of sound, it wasn't really anything that substantial and significant. However, with what Sony is doing with the upcoming PlayStation console, they're creating three-dimensional sound where they can simulate so many different things and so many different experiences to create a more immersive video game for the player. And I think that's really cool. And I'm really excited to see how Borderlands 3 utilizes sound in their upcoming game and how they can bring us a more immersive experience. And I think this is a great way to do that. It's a great step to add how many different variations and sounds our guns have. So that way, the billion guns that we acquire in the game all feel very different and unique. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And what Davidson said about the rarities wouldn't matter in the other games. So the sound wouldn't change based on the rarities. That's one thing. Like, I used to play a lot of Call of Duty Black Ops 2. And when I would play in the zombies mode, you could, are you familiar with any of the Black Ops zombies?
Oh man, I love zombies and Black Ops.
In Black Ops 2, or really all the zombies, but you could like pack a punch your guns. And one thing that was such a huge part of you wanting to pack a punch, while it's mostly the better damage, but the whole gun's look would change and the audio, the sound design would change. It would sound different. It would look different. The when you fired it, the bullets look different. It's different things like that, that they're small, especially the sound is something that when you upgrade a gun or when you get a better gun, it should sound better too.
I agree. I think it creates for a more immersive experience for the player, and I think that it makes that gun feel more special.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really excited to see how they evolve the game with Borderlands 3 that's coming out in September. And I'm really hoping that we learn more about this tomorrow on May 1st. And we get a chance to dive into all of this awesome information that was announced. So we also have, on top of the different audio things that were revealed, we also have some changes that are still continuing to stir in the Borderlands 2 space. And we still have that rainbow rarity that we learned about, I want to say last week or 2 weeks ago. And we know that there is code within the updates and within the, I guess, the string of codes that are available in the Steam database for the game. And we know that there are only automatic updates that are now being pushed out, according to Submatto. Thank you and shout outs to Submatto for his video on this. And it's interesting to see how the new season of the Borderlands VIP will begin tomorrow in Borderlands 2, and what we're actually going to see with this new rainbow rarity and all of the new code that has been found within the game by Captain Kobe, who's going to be on our podcast next week.
Do we know that all of this is coming out tomorrow? Or I guess May 1st for people who are actually listening?
I guess we can speculate that it will be coming out tomorrow because of, well, we know one thing. We know that the Borderlands VIP coming out tomorrow. That was announced. So that's coming to Borderlands 2.
Yeah, so,
one would assume that the rainbow tier rarity would have something to do with this. It would be in some way tied into the whole event.
Right.
It may not be. It may be something that they may not announce until E3, for example, because that's going to be happening too. And that's going to be the next logical place for them to make any kind of big announcement would be E3. So if it's not going to be tomorrow, then I think we're going to learn more at E3. But I think E3 will be more heavily focused on Borderlands 3 and not so much on Borderlands 2. So I don't see them using that stage to announce anything for the current game. I think they would do that more so tomorrow if they were to do
that. That's too big of a stage to announce something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Excited for it, though.
Yeah, really exciting to see what we get tomorrow with all of the new codes that were revealed in the Steam database, and also to learn more about that rainbow rarity. I'm really curious to see if we will get some kind of a new game mode, maybe like a horde mode coming to Borderlands 2 with the announcement of the Borderlands VIP, and part of that they release this new mini DLC. That would be pretty awesome.
I mean, pretty much everything I still don't know about the game mode. I have no idea what that will be. But with the rainbow rarity, it sounds like it's going to be exactly what I want it to be, which is just a rarer gun tier, which we have, legendary and then pearl. I don't know if it's going to be rarer than pearl or what. I don't know how that will work.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they announce tomorrow. So let's talk about Borderlands 3, because we actually have some new information leaked out by Gearbox yet again. Surprise, surprise. I think that's like part of their new marketing strategy, is to like leak things and then pull the content off.
It can't be on accident.
It's Randy, isn't it? It's probably Randy playing tricks on all of us, messing with our heads. It's all a big magic trick. Exactly.
All a big magic trick.
And we are pretty much being played right now by Randy Pitchford himself. We're part of the trick. He's like the Joker. He's not Joker. Welcome to the Batman podcast. Batman. We are live. No, we're not doing that. All right, and take 346.
All right.
Hopefully it works this time without my audio cutting out and me sounding like shit on the podcast for another episode. That would not be fun. That's okay. We're getting there. We're getting there. So let's talk about Borderlands 3 gameplay that was leaked by the great Gearbox yet again. We got some new gameplay.
What did you think about it?
I loved it, personally, because of so many different reasons, really. I really loved the UI. I think the UI looks really nice and clean with how the new weapon systems are laid out on the map. I also really, really loved the art style and how they gave it a very modern polish. Like it still looks like Borderlands, but in a more modern and fresh style, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love what they did with the art, and I love the HUD too. At first, when I saw the HUD, I was like, I don't really know about this. That kind of looks like a little little OG Borderlands-ish. But then I watched it again a couple more times, and now I really like it. I like what it looks like. Especially the map. The map is really cool.
So, yes, I agree. I love the HUD, and I love the UI that was introduced with the new Borderlands game. I think they did a really awesome job, and it again goes to show how much detail went into this game and how thought out the game is. And this gameplay video showed so many cool different things that I love about what they showed off and what we're hopefully going to get in Borderlands 3, and I'm pretty sure we will get such an incredible game. But if you look at the different weapons, you could tell that they have a item score now, which is actually really, really cool. it kind of reminds me of the system we have in Destiny. And I know you're going to be hating me for talking about Destiny, but you know what? Fuck it. I play the game, you know, so sue me for playing the game. I'm going to be me, bro. But it reminds me of the system we have kind of in Destiny and the good aspect of that system, because the system itself does have a ton of flaws in it. But I love that each item will have a different rarity and it will have a different item score. So that way you have a more prolonged chase. So the game feels rewarding from start to finish, right? It feels rewarding when you're starting the game and you're playing through the campaign the first time, but then you also have a reason to play through when you're playing something like the Master Vault Hunter mode that will be coming out. So throughout the entire journey, you're equally being rewarded. And I really love that with this new item score system. And it adds kind of an RPG element to the game that I think improves upon the system that we already had in Borderlands 2.
The item score is a great way to help and invite new players into the series, because new players aren't going to know different things of why this gun is better than this gun, even though its damage is less than this one. Things like that. And, you know, elemental stuff. Once they see the item score, they can go by that until they learn the new aspects of the guns and their stats, everything like that. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. I totally agree. And the UI looks so clean. If you look at the layout of how the weapons are presented to you, I think that it's done in a very awesome way. You have your damage indicator, your accuracy handling, like you would with the previous games, reload time, fire rate, and magazine size. And below it, you get different additional perks that you get within those weapons. And then you have a special ability that the weapon has against different elemental types. So I think this is a perfect layout for this. And it feels like Borderlands, but it feels like a Borderlands with a fresh paint that's made for the modern day looter shooter. So I love it. I love everything about this. I also really like the fact that we got to see some art in the game that showed off a character like Handsome Jack, who is one of my favorite characters in the current Borderlands games. And also, we have some other stuff that we saw. We know that the Maliwan manufacturer will be coming back in Borderlands 3. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a segment after this one. Caleb, did you fall asleep from a food coma?
I'm here. Burgers. Sorry, I am rewatching that video.
That's okay.
I wanted to rewatch it again.
I just wanted to make sure you were alive, because I know you ate a ton of food right before the show in a very brief period of time, I might add.
It was very quickly.
Yeah. So what else did we see in that gameplay video footage that was quickly removed by Gearbox because it was one of those oops moments?
Well, according to Submato, this leaked trailer, or gameplay, I should say, takes place on the crashed Helios moon base, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, if this is the case, that would be pretty freaking awesome. That's pretty exciting. And it goes to show the different variety of locations that we'll be traveling to in the game. and I love the art style again. The art style is very cool. It looked like a very reminiscent place of where we already have been to. And the way that the loot is laid out in the loot boxes, it feels like Borderlands. I like that.
Do we know what character is being played?
Ooh, that's Amara? A good question. I'm not sure. I would have to go back and rewatch that video to tell you.
I want to say it's Amara.
You might be right. You might be right. And we saw a number of weapons in this reveal video. We saw a manipulating multiplex sniper rifle at 175 gear score. We also got a chance to see a setting multiplex sniper rifle at item score 147. We also saw a Raider longbow grenade mod that had a gear score, or gear item score, I should say, of 100. So this is pretty interesting.
It is interesting.
And more indications of what's to come. And the character that was being shown off in the video also had another thing that was equipped, which was a Dahl auto rifle at 206 gear power. So we know that the item power will go above 175. The other interesting thing, look at the color of that item at 206. It almost looks like an iridium color.
It looks like, I don't even know if that was technically a tier. You remember the golden chest guns?
Yep.
I don't even know if that was an actual tier or if it had a name, but it looks like that color.
It is very interesting indeed. And we will have these images presented to you in the show notes that will be coming out tomorrow after I am done editing the podcast. So yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. And I think it's a good segue to talk about some of the things that we'll be getting with the different weapon manufacturers in Borderlands 3. Because thank you to the great data miners in our community. We got some more cool stuff to talk about on the podcast today. We know that a S&S munition will return with Borderlands 3. And not only did we learn about that, but we actually got a chance to see all of the different weapon manufacturers that will be coming back with Borderlands 3, along with their descriptions. And we know that we will be getting Ashen, Atlas, Children of Vault, Dahl, Iridian, Jacobs, Malawan, SNS, Tedior, Torg, and Vladov as part of the new weapon manufacturers in Borderlands 3 that were confirmed.
Interesting. It sounds like the bandit weapons are now Children of Vault, because it says the flames must never be extinguished when you level the weapons of the Children of the Vault at your foes. You need not think of reloading. Their fire is as limitless as the God Queen's power. It sounds very similar to bandit weapons. And it would make sense if, you know, the bandits are now worshipping or whatever the Calypso twins. Makes sense if their guns changed.
And then we also have for Ashen, it says, when the storm wind blows, the unyielding branches break as gentle reeds bend. Ashen shields adapt to and resist any element and will recover swiftly from damage. For Atlas, it states the following. The Atlas Corporation has a long and checkered past, but its new leadership has put a new coat of paint on the brand with its new target-seeking power, patent pending, and an emphasis on corporate responsibility. Dal has been outfitting the defenders of freedom for over a century and isn't about to stop anytime soon. We've built our company on the foundation that dead customers can't be repeat customers. Keeping you alive is in our best interest. These are really interesting and very well-written descriptions. For cool. All the different weapon types. I like the one for Iridian. Behold the power of purple. Behold the power. It almost makes it sound like the Iridian power is going to be like the ultimate power.
Jacobs is my manufacturer. It's my favorite.
Yeah. We have some more powers and descriptions that were data mined. For Hyperion, it states, Hyperion knows its customers want luxury, and what can be more luxurious than the thrill of combat from behind the safety of a shield system right on board your weapon. Next up, we have Jacobs. When you reach for the iron on your hip, you're not looking for complications, you're looking to simplify. Jacobs offers simple, high-caliber firearms, so you don't have to think or fire twice. Very, very cool. Malawan, no information on that one. RIP. The next one, Pangolin. Bullets, blades, bombs. It's dangerous work, but someone's got to do it. That's why Pangolin produces the strongest, safest, and sturdiest shields on the market. Withstand everything, stop at nothing with Pangolin. SNS, no description. RIP. I think they're still working on some of this stuff, so we're not going to get everything revealed right, you know, all at once. I think they still have, 5 months before the game's out?
And all this was data mined, right?
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yes, all of this was data mined. Indeed. And for Tedior, am I saying this right? Tedior. For Tedior, at Tedior, we made reloading a gun easier than ever. When you're done firing, simply discard the weapon in your enemy's direction to deal additional damage, and a new weapon is instantly digistructed in the palm of your hands. I fucking love that word. Digi-structed.
Submoto.
That's awesome.
Mentioned that he put out a screenshot of one of the TDR weapons. And he mentioned that, I don't know if he was talking about all of them or just a select few, but he said TDR weapons will have these special bonuses or effects. Like, he put a screenshot of one that when you reload, it'll, because TDR has always been the manufacturer to when you reload, you'll like throw it and it'll explode or become a grenade, whatever. He put out a screenshot of one that when you reload, it like throws it onto a wall and it sticks to the wall and then we'll shoot the enemy. So different, I guess, different things like that will be applied to different guns for TDOR. It's pretty cool. I'm guessing that's where guns with legs comes in too.
Yeah, these are all very, and what I really like about this is that all of these descriptions are very different. They make all of the guns sound different, and it adds more variety to the game. And it, I'm so excited about that. Like, it almost makes it feel like the billion weapons that are being promised. Like, it sounds like a crazy fucking number, but a billion weapons, it sounds like, okay, I'm starting to understand how you guys are kind of putting this together and making this happen. And not only that, but making it feel different, because when you have so many weapons, I think in the previous Borderlands games, one of the things that I noticed is that a lot of the guns that you got, they felt a bit similar, right? And that's one way they were able to accomplish such a huge number. But with all of these different manufacturers, it feels like they're going to be able to create a very different feel to each of these different weapon types.
With the pre-sequel, they just copy and pasted all the guns over from Borderlands 2, pretty much. So I don't think they can do that this time, which they said they are not, and I believe them. But if they were to do that again, so many people would get angry, including myself. So I'm expecting a lot of variety and different things like this.
So I just had a moment. More fun stuff to talk about that's not Borderlands. Fuck, we're having a hell of a show tonight. So Rocky, my dog, apparently he's like laying there on the bed, and I'm like looking at him almost like kind of shaking. And it was either he was having a dream or he was having like a seizure. And I was kind of sensitive to the seizure part because we have another dog in the household who he's been having those. And so when I saw him there, I was like, all right, let me go check on him. And I look over and he's like, how do I say this? Fuck my life. He's having a hard on. And like, and he's like, and like, I wake him up and he's perfectly fine. He's like, stretches, lays down on the bed, finds a different spot, and just, he's just chilling right now.
He's just having a really exciting dream.
He was having a really exciting moment, and I completely misread it as something else. So there you have it. We are a little bit more edgier on this podcast. Do you like us now? Talking about dogs with fucking boners. God damn it. Man, what are we doing?
That's funny.
This podcast is going really well. But yeah, no, at first I thought, like, is he okay? Like, what is going on with you, bro? Like, are you good? You're okay? Because I don't want to have to stop the podcast and have to take you to the vet. So yeah. It's a hot mess. Enjoy it. Tomorrow, I'm going to edit slightly. But, you know, I'm learning that sometimes the parts that you would tend to edit out, those are kind of the fun parts that people want to listen to. So you know what? Sometimes you got to say, fuck it. But we'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling when I'm editing.
This episode is a mess.
So anyways, back to Borderlands. What else should we talk about? Oh, there's Torg. Yeah. For Torg, most weapons shoot tiny pieces of metal powered by tiny explosives. Torg says, fuck that, we shoot more explosions and make them bigger by Torg blow shit up. I like that. I resonate with that. I like that. I like their tone. And what else do we have here? Vladov. Vladov, when the boots of the oppressors sound, all workers must answer the call to resist. Vladov, the instrument of the revolution, must provides unparalleled fire rate to bury the... Ooh, what is that word? Booger?
To... Where is it? Oh, to bury...
Bozier? Bozier... To bury the what?
I have no idea.
To bury the... We have no idea. Between mountain of lead. Bigger?
Bugle.
Bugger?
Where? Bugger?
Bigger?
This is a terrible episode.
We're having an awesome episode today. This is great. This is going well. Oh, man. So, yes. That's Vladov on the Borderlands Show podcast.
Okay.
Oh, man, I need more coffee. It's okay. Zane and Amara's skill trees have been revealed. Thank you, Nicolads, for the leak. We appreciate you. Hope you don't get arrested or go to jail for this shit. Should be okay. Should be okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
So we have some... A bunch of new stuff, actually, with this leak for both Amara and for Zane. Let's take a look at the Zane and Amara's skill trees that were revealed by Nicolads. Thank you, Nicolads, for the awesome leak, and we hope you do not get arrested for this. So we do wish you well, wherever you may be. Whether from the comforts of home or from the county jail. No, just kidding. That's not going to happen. So we have the skill trees for Zane that will contain the SNTNL, violent speed, cold bore, violent momentum, cold hand. Cool hand, excuse me, drone delivery, salvation, see in red, violent violence, pain dirty, good misfortune, dead follows close, and those will all be part of the Hitman subtree. Are there any of these that stand out to you, Caleb?
SNTNL definitely does.
No. And what is SNTNL? That sounds fucking kinky. Well, what is it exactly?
It sends a drone into battle that...
Ooh, okay. I like this.
This action skill sends a drone into battle that fires upon foes with its machine guns. Press the action skill button or grenade button while this is active, and SNTNL will attack whoever is in your crosshairs. This sounds exactly like the... I don't remember its name in the playable character in the pre-sequel. Which I believe, was it Jack's doppelganger? No, maybe? Might have been. I do not remember. One of the playable characters in the pre-sequel had this action skill. Pretty much the exact same thing.
Very cool. I will have to check out more of the pre-sequel. I played about 5 hours of it thus far. I still have a lot more to play. But what I think I'm going to do is, because one of my best friends, I am trying to get him into the Borderlands series, and I'd like to start him out with the first game because it would make logical sense, and I'd love to go back and replay that. And especially now that you can do so with four people, I actually have four friends, or three other friends, I should say, that I am planning on diving into the entire franchise with. And we want to start from the first one and then move on to the pre-sequel and then the second one. And then hopefully we can dive into Borderlands 3 this fall.
I would go in the order they were released, honestly. I would go from 1 to 2 and then the pre-sequel. Okay. That's what I would do if I was doing that. Your idea is good. Okay. I would just go from 1 to 2. Because I feel like for a new Borderlands player, you would want to play the second one before you play the pre-sequel.
That's fair.
You know? You don't want the pre-sequel altering their perspective of how good
that makes sense. Is. That makes sense. Fair enough. That's a good point.
Yeah, these seem like all typical skill tree stuff that we're used to in the Borderlands series.
Yeah. Are any of these any different than what you are familiar with?
No. Except for Winter's Drone, which says it converts SNTNL's damage to cryo damage. I don't know if there's anything like that in the pre-sequel. I don't remember because I didn't play a whole lot of it. But I would assume not. Because cryo is obviously not in the other games. Everything else, though.
We also learned more about a Mars steel tree. Rocky agrees. That's his time to be on the podcast. He loves podcasting. He really does have fun.
They say dogs take after their owners.
Right? It's true. He's just like me. Literally. Except we eat slightly different food, but you know.
He has a Destiny podcast too. And a Borderlands. I'm sure it's an edgy podcast then.
We try. Depends on the week. Sometimes. Depends on how much coffee I drank too. Makes a difference, really. So let's talk about Amara's skill tree. And there is an exhausting amount in this as well, in terms of the information that we have. And you can check out all of this on the website at borderlandsshow.com. We will have all of this information in the show notes. If you want to read through it, you can check it out right on there. We just, you know, don't have 4 or 5 hours to talk about all of it. That would be kind of a bit much.
And you would hate us.
But for Amars, some people would. Some people might actually enjoy listening to us.
I think most people would hate us.
Most people would probably hate us. You're right. So Amara's skill tree. Do we notice anything that we wish to talk about specifically?
I don't see anything new or different than what we've already heard about her.
Next up, let's talk about something new that was confirmed by Gearbox on the Borderlands.com website. And we will post a link directly to their website so you can check out the entire article for yourself. But we're going to talk about that on the podcast tonight. And let me pull up the link. Just goes to show how prepared I am. Way to go, Cornholio. So, Caleb, what is this new Echo Cast feature that will be debuting tomorrow on May 1st at the gameplay reveal?
Essentially, it is just a way for Twitch viewers to be able to see the loadouts of the streamers they are watching. And it kind of gives, you know, it's kind of gimmicky, but it gives that access to streamers that viewers typically don't have. And Gearbox realizes that Twitch is a huge part of gaming now. Ever since Twitch, you know, started to take off, whatever is trending on Twitch is trending in people's homes. So I like it. I think it's a good feature to add. even though it really, I don't know how much it's actually going to be used. I think it's cool, though.
I think this is a way that Gearbox is making an effort to reach out to the streaming community to make the game more accessible to not only their player base by incentivizing them through more loot, but also to build a bigger community around this game. And a great way to do that is to create something like a Twitch extension that they're bringing to the community in order to enhance the experience for both the content creators who are making content about the game. So that's going to incentivize streamers and YouTubers to create more content about this game, but also to bring the community together and say, hey, if you guys are part of this community, you'll get a chance to get this bonus thing that you otherwise would not have. So I think it's a cool little idea. I think it's really interesting to see them implement this, and it's going to be cool to see how this develops.
It's going to help a lot of streamers out by not having to open their loadouts constantly because viewers are asking to see what guns they have and why aren't they using this. They can just look and use that extension to see what's in their inventory. So it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that this is a great way for them to get on a platform that is really, really huge for the video gaming space. It's a platform where gamers go to not only play the game and stream, but also people who are looking to check out the game and learn more about the game. So oftentimes, before you would watch something on your, you know, cable box, now you have places like YouTube, and the new thing is to go on to Twitch, where you have a more live interaction with your content creator. So it's very interesting to see them embrace that and to create an extension that looks very clean, very well put together. It almost looks like a light version of the UI that you would have within the game, so it feels like an extension of the game. So I really, really like that.
Yeah. When it comes down to it, I can think of two instances of Twitch making games and Twitch being the reason they succeeded. Those are Fortnite and Apex. Fortnite, if it wasn't for Twitch, Fortnite, I don't think it may never have taken off, or it may have taken off way later than it had. And then on the opposite side, Apex, even though it's not as popular now as it was for that, you know, first 2 weeks where it took off right at launch, if it wasn't for Twitch, I don't think it ever would have caught on. I don't think anyone would have known what it was. There was no marketing behind Apex. All it was Twitch. All it was paid promotions for these streamers to play. Once Shroud started playing it, Ninja started playing it, everyone started playing it.
Yeah, that's a really great example. And I think that Apex is a perfect example of this because it's a game that, let's face it, it came out of nowhere. Nobody expected for that game to become as big as it is today. And its popularity is indeed because of a platform like Twitch that allowed for the game to gain such a huge popularity. So yeah, it's incredible.
Yep. Twitch, just streaming in general, is just becoming a huge part of gaming today.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also know that this Twitch extension will launch tomorrow as part of the May 1st gameplay reveal event. So go ahead and check it out. We are going to link to the page on the Borderlands website, or you can go right on their website, and I'm sure somewhere on the homepage you'll find this article. It's titled Score Borderlands 3 Loot with Twitch during May 1st gameplay reveal, posted on April 29th, 2019. And in the article, I do want to talk about a few things that are being highlighted here. We have four things. The first one is Vault Hunter Profile, and the article states, here you can check out the high-level overview of the Vault Hunter you're watching, including not only their class and level, but also overviews of their gear and skill trees. Note that if you hover over a piece of gear, you can check out all the same stats and information about it in that you'd see in-game. So that's pretty cool. It makes the stream that you're watching feel a lot more immersive. And it almost feels like it's a part of the game. So that's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah. And we also have some information for inventory as well, don't we, Caleb?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. And it states, loot. Here's where we suspect you'll spend a lot of time checking out all your favorite streamers' gear, toggling between equipment and equipped and unequipped gear by clicking on the left and right arrows. Dynamically rendered thumbnails let you see how cool each item looks, and if you hover over them, you can check out the item's all-important stats as well. Again, very cool feature.
It's very cool. Sounds really interesting.
Very immersive. And there are two more things that are being added to this feature. Thirdly, skill trees. It states, dive into each skill tree to see where the streamer has allocated their skill points, as well as which augmentations they've slotted. This is a great way to learn about the Vault Hunter's different skill builds, which will likely be a topic of discussion in the streamer's chat. You can hover over a skills icon to see an explanation of how that skill works. Again, that's really, really fucking cool. And lastly, they talk about rare chest events. One of the most exciting features of the EchoCast Twitch extension affords you a chance to receive the same in-game loot that you watch a streamer find in rare chests, which are typically guarded by powerful enemies. Keep an eye out, because once a streamer opens a rare chest, you have only 30 seconds to opt into an event. Note that the loot you receive will automatically scale to your level when you retrieve it from your in-game mailbox. Hmm. Wow.
Really connecting you to the streamer you're watching. That sounds... Huh. I've never heard anything like that.
This is very different. And, you know, it almost sounds like an evolution. Shift codes, right? Shift codes feel like, I don't know, the kind of dated way of rewarding your community. This, it's like a whole new way of doing this. This is really cool.
I don't know how that's going to work. You're just watching and someone finds something in a chest and you have 30 seconds to click something and get it?
It says, if you're one of the winners, the extension will notify you and give you 30 seconds to choose which of the items from the chest you'd like to receive. The item is automatically added to your Twitch-linked Shift account so that you can claim it from your in-game mailbox once Borderlands 3 is released on September 13th. What? Oh, that's fucking awesome.
I've never heard anything like that before. It's cool.
That is really cool. Wow. Okay, so then the last thing that they talk about is the Vault Insider Program, And as a Borderlands VIP, you can immediately start earning points that will be redeemable for Borderlands 3 in-game items in the future, and which can already be redeemed for gold keys that unlock chests in current Borderlands games. That's pretty cool.
Have you done this yet?
I have signed up for it. I haven't completed every step in the thing, but I did start it. I'm sure I have more things that I can do since I signed up when first launched. So I haven't went back to it. So I'll have to see what changes they added into this program.
Gotcha. I think I've already gotten as many points as I can get. Just waiting for them to add cooler stuff, because I don't really want to spend that on keys. But if they add skins and stuff, then I'm definitely going to use them.
Yeah, this is really cool. So, wow, that's a lot of stuff already that we have in terms of new information on Borderlands 3. And there's more to come in less than 24 hours. By the time this episode is out, it's going to feel a bit dated because there's going to be new exciting stuff out. But we will talk about that with our next episode of the podcast. So, do you have any final thoughts on EchoCast or any of the other things that we talked about on the show?
I just love how they're taking this, you know, Borderlands. This, when you think Borderlands, you think typically you think outdated. Not because it's bad, because it's good, but you typically think, you know, last game that came out was 2014, which is pre-sequel, and people didn't really like it. So you think 2012, Borderlands 2. And when you compare that to other looter shooters that we now have, it just seems outdated. But I like how they're doing this integration with Twitch and making it, taking Borderlands like as we know it, the good Borderlands, and just upping that and renovating, if you will. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and to touch on that point, I think that right now, to me, the Borderlands franchise, it feels more modern than ever before because of the Ultra HD upgrades that they made to the game.
Sure, yeah.
So I think that adds a ton of modern feel to the game that we didn't have before. I think that, you know, there's only so much they can do in terms of making the game replayable. If you played through the entire game and through all of the content, then maybe it might seem a bit insignificant, right? But for anybody who hasn't played through the series, this gives them a chance to relive, or not relive, but to experience the game in the best quality possible, where it feels as modern as it will ever be able to feel.
Right.
So I think that's pretty cool. I really love this Echo Twitch extension. I think it's really a very innovative way to connect the players with the streamers who are broadcasting the game. And I'm definitely going to look at this both as a content creator and as a fan, to see how I can implement this feature into what we're doing, for example, because this sounds fucking cool as shit. Like, how awesome would it be to be doing like Let's Plays and to play Borderlands 3 and be able to reward the community in the same way? Like, it's almost like you're part of the experience together, but in a much more deeper and more meaningful way. So I really love this idea.
Yeah, it feels a little gimmicky to me, but ultimately I think it's going to be really useful.
Yeah. Well, yeah, besides that, I really like the new manufacturers that were confirmed with the Borderlands 3. I think that all of that is really cool. I really like the UI changes that are coming to Borderlands 3 that we have seen thus far. And yeah, so go check out borderlands.com and join their VIP program, the Vault Insider program, and go check it out to get some really cool loot. And we will have more Borderlands content coming at you next week. We will have our Borderlands 3 Info Explosion episode, and we invite Captain Kobe joining us on the show. So next week, we welcome the awesome Captain Kobe, and we'll talk about his experience with creating Borderlands 2 Reborn, a really awesome mod that he created. We're going to talk about Rainbow Tier, Borderlands 3, and so much more. You won't want to miss our next episode of the Borderlands Show podcast. So, Caleb, it's that time. Dup, dup, dum.
It's that time.
It is that time.
For me to plug myself?
No.
No.
Not that time. That's not that time. No. It is that time that we end the show so we can go and play video games and do other things like eat. I haven't eaten in a minute.
I'm hungry again.
Yeah, me too. I have not eaten dinner yet, so I'm really looking forward to this.
FYI, when I said plug myself, I meant plug my social media, just to make that clear. Just to make that clear.
Yes, he's not going
to
like kill
himself. I want to make that clear right here and now.
So you heard it here on the podcast. So Caleb, where can we learn more about you?
You can find me on Twitter at CWILMOTH15. That's CWILMOTH15.
Very cool. And you can find me at OMG Cornholio on Z Twitter. You can also find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/IamCornholio. And you can also find the Borderlands Show podcast on our brand new website that I built at www.borderlandsshow.com. You can check out all of our episodes there, along with the show notes for each and every episode and the links that we talked about here on the show. And you can find the Borderlands Show podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, and all of your favorite podcasting platforms. You can also find us on Twitter at Borderlands3POD, and you can find us on Instagram. Where can you find us, Caleb?
You can find us where?
On Instagram.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
We're really prepared for this.
Instagram.com/TheBorderlandsShow. Sorry, I dropped my phone and I was not paying attention.
That's okay. That's a typical episode. Thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of the Borderlands Show podcast. And we will see you all next week on Tuesday. Till next week, enjoy the reveal on May 1st. And cut. We made it happen. Holy shit, we made it through the turbulence and the craziness. Fuck.
That was an interesting episode.
That was an interesting episode.